John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk to a little Vita Vea, and then we'll get into this Alpi thing. Alpi was on Turkish television and had some interesting quotes that we will go through. But first, you think Vita, wait a minute, how are you going to pay Vita Vea?
Well, I mean, Nick finds ways.
Yeah,
just,
when you got
Nick just
CJ
creates
coming
money.
Up. I don't know. I don't know.
That's
that
what makes it unlikely. You would have to. You'd have to do some magic. He's under a contract now. I'd have to see how Vita would fit in. I mean, you'd almost have to trade money back, and it'd have to be a guy in the last year of his contract, and then you draft picks because you'd have to lighten the load. You'd have to lighten the load, from a money standpoint on your roster right now. So you would have to trade over somebody, but you don't want somebody with too many years on there because then it accelerates, whatever signing bonuses. So yeah, he's in a final year of a $71 million deal. It could be done. You have to get him re-signed.
Yeah,
you probably need to get him re-signed with a chunk of money up front to where he, and that's a problem. You could pay him maybe a little more up front, but then you have to have it. You have to have the contract come down to be able to fit CJ. So it's unlikely financially. Yes. Now, would there be great interest? Probably less so because of Cade McDonald being added, and he's a run stuffer, and he is just turned 21, and he's on a rookie deal for the next 5 years. No, I'm sorry, 4 years. The next 4 years, he's on a rookie deal. So, no, I mean, unless you were going to trade Cade McDonald as part of this deal, and I'm not even sure you can trade rookies. I'd have to check and see if you can trade rookies after they've been drafted. But God, would that be great to have a guy like Vita Vea in the middle of this defense?
Oh my God!
I mean, you'd have to send him. You'd send him a defensive tackle back, obviously. You'd also have to send They wouldn't just want draft picks. They'd probably want some actual talent. Their offensive line is pretty good. In the secondary, they could use a little bit of help. They did. I don't know if they got a linebacker. They just had a linebacker leave. I think they did draft a linebacker. So I don't even know what they would want. Cade Stover probably wouldn't be of interest. I'm not sure you'd have anything they'd really want, to be honest with you. Jalen Noel, give you a slot receiver with return ability.
They could use a Jalen Noel.
Yeah, but I mean, what it boils down to is you then have to start with a second. You'd have to start with maybe a first. And I hate to say that, but your second is going to be considered so far down the line. Your second's going to be expected to be such a late second that you'd have to give up. You'd probably have to give up a second and maybe a fourth that turns into a third for Vita Vea. Maybe a second and a third for Vita Vea. It's hard for me to figure out what you'd give up because he's still a run-stuffing tackle. He won't play as many passing downs. So I'm trying to figure out what a proper trade value would be. But it would be you'd have to give up a couple players, and then you'd have to give up you'd have to sign him to a deal, and then you give up at least a second for him.
Yeah.
At least a second, maybe more.
I mean, if you
And then they
prey
on your downfall,
year,
so it was an early second.
If you're going for it this year, man, what a difference maker.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
You're not running here at all. You know, if you could trade a rookie like Cade McDonald, you would probably do that. Of course, they already have their opinion on him because they just had a draft. So I don't know where they had him on the board.
Not only that, but they need cheap help. Vita, you'd have to let Vita right. walk, and you lost out on your second round pick this year and another second rounder. I don't know. I don't know that that's worth it because you got him tied up for 4 years. And you'd have Vita for one.
No, you cannot trade a rookie pick at that point because once a player is drafted and signed, they're no longer a draft pick. They're an official roster player. However, you can trade the player himself after he has signed his rookie contract. Okay, provided it happens before the league trade deadline. Okay, so you could. So sorry, AI overview. You shouldn't have led with no. I asked the question the right way. So you could have you could trade a Cade McDonald. Yeah, you could, and that would give them a run stuffer that they would have 4 years. They would have some, unless they didn't like him personality wise. I would have to think they would have interest in somebody like Cade McDonald. I'm just saying, if you were to do this, if we're going to play the fun little game, McDonald would have to be part of that deal. Then maybe you give them a wide receiver like Noel who has return ability. You know, the more I think about it, it's not like you're loaded with, I don't know where you would trade. I talk about our roster, the Texans roster being pretty good, but I'm not sure they have a bunch of, like, who are the wide receivers they would want? Obviously, you're not giving away your number one guy.
Jaden Higgins?
Who are the tight ends they would want?
Not sure. Marlon Klein? Why can't you give up like a...
What? You want to give up nothing?
No. A Togi Eye or a...
Yeah, you could. Well, McDonald's who they'd want. There's your run stuffer. No. He would replace Vita Vea, and he'd be a much cheaper and younger version of it.
I really like Naquan Jones for them.
Who, the Texans? You like him for the?
I like him for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yeah,
looking at Tampa's roster here, if they were to want to do something. You just drafted Ted Hurst, who is in the third round. You've got Jalen McMillan, who's just Amika Egbuka, Chris Godwin. Nah, they probably wouldn't want that. They're okay on the offensive line. At running back, they've got Bucky Irvin, Kenny Gainwell. They're okay there. I mean, at edge, they could use they just drafted Reuben Bain. They just added Josiah Trotter as a rookie. So you got a rookie inside backer. And Reuben Bain off the edge. Nah. I don't know, man. I'm trying to find where they like Yaya Diaby. You got Zion McCollum, who's okay. Tyke Smith is a young safety. I don't know what. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, they could use a corner.
So the premise of this conversation is, what can we dump on the Bucks and take one of the best players in the league?
I can't really find anything.
That's exactly right.
You can't find a way.
You'd have to go Cade McDonald and a second round pick.
You can't find a way to dupe the Bucks into taking something for Vita Vea?
Give them two second rounders
for a guy that doesn't want to be there.
Give him a second and a third and Cade McDonald.
That's two seconds and two.
If I'm Tampa, I would 100% consider that. That's not dumping. I'm trying to make a fair deal for
You're trading a young defensive tackle.
Who do you not have to pay right now? You don't have money to take on.
That's attractive to another team. No, but you get a Cade McDonald in his rookie
the
year.
Texans are doing that second round contract.
No, the Texans are doing that. Well, the Texans probably aren't.
I don't think they are.
But it's inside that window.
Lance, I don't think they give up a Cade McDonald's 4 years price with CJ coming up.
You're 100% right. They wouldn't because that's such a valuable commodity with CJ's contract coming up.
Yep.
Because Hunter's contract's going to go away, and that helps pay off CJ. And we've already established you have to have several players on rookie contracts or one-year lower-level veteran contracts to make it work when you're going to have – a CJ payday, a Stingley payday, obviously a Will Anderson payday, but don't forget. So you're going to have is he number one or number two cornerback, Stingley, right now, paid?
He's number one now, isn't he?
Yeah, and you have the number one defensive end payday, right? You're going to have a top five quarterback payday, more than likely. How do you afford that?
Yeah, that's it.
Because guess who else is getting paid? Kamari Lassiter better get paid.
Stingley is
He's got 25 lighters
third.
On his dresser. Yes, sir.
He's third now?
He's behind McDuffie and Ahmad Gardner. Sauce Gardner.
Behind Sauce? McDuffie made more.
At least per year, Sauce is making 100 grand more per year than Stingley. Then McDuffie's making $1 million more per year. Average salary.
Yeah, but Lassiter's going to get paid. Petrie. Yeah. The CJ contract is just going to wipe out.
Bullock's going to get paid.
CJ's contract's going to wipe out this roster.
Yep.
I don't say wipe it out, but let's face it.
Well,
he's going to make $40 million more than he's
making.
Maybe
he'll do a LeBron deal where he just, He does it for the team. So that
LeBron didn't start doing it for the team until he's like 40 years old with the Lakers. Right. He took a little less this last contract.
CJ played like he was 40 last year in the playoffs.
Well, unfortunately, not the Tom Brady version of 40.
They had that meme of that 40-year-old who had the Stroud jersey on that kind of looked like CJ.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
All right, let's hear from LP on the other side here on ESPN 97.
I hope it's good. I hope we're going
to
hear
You're not going to be able to understand it.
No, well, we won't hear from him. We'll break down what he said on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So, LP was on Turkish television. We can't play it. I mean, unless you want to play, and I'll translate it for everybody, Dell. You want him to. Although, I will say this. I'm reading the transcript while he's talking, and we talk a little faster here in America than they talk in Turkey. So I've had to like wait for him to finish his sentences and stuff. So that doesn't make great radio. Great radio is me just probably just translating it for you from Turkish, and not playing the Turkish version. He started this. KD has a massive fan base. Because of that, he says, think about it this way, okay? See, this is where I have to wait until he gets to... My fans would never believe I had a bad game. Well, that's like KD's fans, like his fan here, who never believed that KD, Dreamshake, never believed that KD had a bad game, right? Only Alpi fans, Turkish fans... are very protective of him, aren't they? Very protective. For example, I can see it myself. There are things that I'm not good at. Some self-awareness by LP there. But whenever I talk to someone on the phone, they always blame other people. And he said, but I'm not that kind of person. I always blame myself, he said. When I talk to my friends or family, I always say, no, it's not like that. Because I know what's really going on. I can't make myself feel better by blaming someone else. That's good, because if I start doing that, it feels like I'm not taking responsibility, like this person did this, that person did that. I don't like that kind of mindset. You can't get better that way. You know what? All of this is good stuff. Whether or not he's going to get better is another question. After the games we lost this season, they pushed this idea that every loss had to be blamed on someone. All right, it was Ime's fault. It was KD's fault. It was Amen was terrible. They kept creating that narrative. But we're going to lose games. You can't win them all. And somebody isn't to blame for every game. Although, you know what? In the playoffs, guess what, LP? There were people to blame. LP was one of the guys to blame. He was not good. He was really, really, really not good. And he wasn't really good against Golden State either. He had a really good game against Golden State. But at the end of the game, actually, where I believe, remember, he had a couple of big baskets at the end of one of the games.
Yeah, he had a good game. I've noticed that, and I'm not necessarily accusing Alpi. I mean, some of what Alpi says I can agree with. Sometimes the other team just, sometimes you just got to tip your hat. Craig Biggio said that.
All right, Bish.
Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to the other team. It's not always. Sometimes in the course of a game, you miss shots and the other team makes, and that's just basketball. So, boy, everything I'm saying, I realize before I say it, like, this sounds like something Biggio would have said, only I'm doing a different sport. But sometimes you got to tip your cap or tip your basketball, and then sometimes – you know, that's just basketball. You miss some shots. They make some shots. That's not – I don't necessarily blame – we're going to do that naturally as we want to know who's to blame. Anytime something goes against us in life at all as people, we want to know who's to blame. When we assign blame, it's easier to direct our vitriol and anger at that, and then it's also easier to say, well, if we get rid of this, everything's going to be great. If we get rid of this pitcher, this general manager, if we get rid of that player, this coach – we always think everything's going to be better, and that's oftentimes not the case. It's more than that. So I can agree with Alperin to an extent. Over the course of a five six, seven-game series, though, I mean, we're going to say who played well and who didn't play well. There's no way around it. Because now we're looking at a macro view. And I think it's safe to say Alperen Şengün, although I didn't think he shied away and tried to, you know, Alperen tried to make things happen. He tried to do his job as the best player on that team with Durant out. Well, one of them, he and Amen Thompson. And he came up short. So, you know, part of the contract, the social contract you have as a sports, as a celebrated sports figure, is you get paid ungodly amounts of money. You also are going to take crap if you don't win. That's just how it works. And Alperen deserves some of the crap he's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he deserves some of it. If I feel like there's less accountability now in a general sense. I'm not really hitting on Alperen Şengün. Do you feel like that? I feel like I hear less accountability from players and teams and coaches now than maybe I used to. I may just have too much recency bias because of watching the Jailblazers doc. But I feel like now CJ's been fully accountable with his stuff. Hard not to be when it was that bad. It's hard not to be. But and I'm not necessarily talking about our local team, I guess. Do you think the Astros or Rockets have had accountability concerns? I think maybe sometimes the Rockets at times. Kevin Durant is never accountable. He's never been accountable anywhere he's been if it's gone bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some post games from him where he was like, you know, I could have done this.
That's true. He has. I think in the big picture, yes. In the small and the micro, yes. You're right. He has said, I wasn't good. I wasn't good in this game.
Yeah,
right. I don't think that he looks at his injury as one of the, you know, I don't know if he's like, you know, what are you going to say, I guess? I got to stay healthier. I don't know what Kevin can say, but you probably didn't win that series because Kevin Durant got hurt. That's just the truth.
Yep. No, yeah. I mean, you weren't. You,
I mean, you let Luke Kennard get off on you on two games, the Rockets. That's kind of a problem.
Do you think?
And that's on some of that's got to be on Ime. It's your job defensively to impose your will on your players and make sure they don't screw up.
We've heard Alpi take accountability that he wasn't good. We've heard Reed take accountability he wasn't good. I don't know, Amen or I mean, you know, Ime sets the tone, and he's
actually,
never
right.
bad.
Actually, he's the worst of the bunch.
He's the worst of them all.
It's always on the players. Always.
Yeah. Always.
Even when it's on the players, it can't always be on the players if you're a coach. It can't be. That's how you lose the players.
Yeah, I don't know that he's lost them, but he, you know, and Alpi went on to say in this thing that he likes to be coached hard. He likes Ime getting on him. He wants to get better.
He said it after the first year. Remember, John, when he said, this is more like what I'm used to coming from, where the practices are harder and all. He actually acknowledged that the first year Ime was there.
Yeah. I'm not sure that you're ever going to win a title with LP. All I'm saying is that I don't know that he is a top-notch center that is you're going to be able to overcome other great centers in the playoffs. I just don't think so. I mean, he didn't even DeAndre Ayton was better than he was last year in the postseason. DeAndre Ayton, you got to win that matchup. LP had to win that matchup with Kevin Durant going down. You have got to win certain matchups, and LP, that was one of them that you had a huge advantage, and you didn't. You didn't win that, and he's got to be much better than that. And he wasn't good against Golden State the year before either. So, I mean, he's got to – and they don't have a center. So, when – I don't even know when he goes up against Denver or
– I mean, Ayton is a legitimate center. He's
he got swept the very next series.
Well, against Oklahoma City, what does he have to do with that?
Well,
I mean, he's a legitimate. He's played in an NBA. He's played in an NBA Finals. He has, he lost, but he's played, and he was one of the best. He's one of the best players on that team. I mean, he's a guy who can block shots, rebound. I mean,
he's a vagabond at this point. He's now with the Wizards.
But he's athletic.
That's fine. Yeah. But to John's point,
part of that is he's also a pain in the ass.
If Albie, yeah, but still, he's underperformed. You can be a pain in the ass, but he's underperformed. If you're Alperen Şengün, an alleged all-star, second best, third, whatever you want to call him on a potential title contender, you can't lose that matchup.
You can't.
You can't. Not if you're supposed. Not if you are what people want you to be.
Well, yeah. What if you? What if you play San Antonio, Oklahoma City?
We know you're not winning that battle.
You're not winning. No, holy crap,
guys! I'm trying to keep the heat off us with Turkey. Yeah.
Alpi is accountable, and we didn't insult Turkey. We didn't insult him. He has to play better.
Yeah,
and he knows it. You can't lose. We went into that series going. In fact, I even said it jokingly. He better not lose the matchup to DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah,
and
he did say it.
And he didn't convincingly win it, which was needed.
Nope.
Particularly when Durant goes down, that's the problem. He needs to win a matchup against an average center who can't stick with the team. And if he doesn't do that, what's the point? Because all the 20 and 10 stuff you do in the regular season, who cares?
Which he didn't average.
And yeah, but if I'm just saying if he becomes a 20 and 10 guy in the regular season, like I say at this point, I don't know the difference between him and Sabonis. The young one, the one in Sacramento. And no one thinks...
A little less athletic.
Despite how productive he is, no one thinks that guy right now can be a second best player on his title team.
Sabonis?
Yeah.
No.
So if Alpi is that, then perhaps the esteem we have for him, he's not untouchable, but it would take a lot to get him, I think, from the Rockets. Maybe that should be lessened if we keep watching playoff performances where he gets outplayed.
He's a valuable trade piece, and that needs to be acknowledged in the front office. You know, I really believe Rafael Stone has a hard time getting away from his guys. He can't even get away from Jayshon Tate. Like, Jayshon is one of his guys. He can't even get away from Jayshon Tate.
He signed again.
Jayshon Tate, like, he just loves his guys, and that's fine. But at some point, you do have to acknowledge when it's time to, you know, and I know people may say, what about Jalen Green? That's fine, but I also think that probably came from on high, like, hey, we need to make a move. And Rafael may have been in lockstep with it, and it may have been a decision by the. But getting Kevin Durant is a little less difficult than trading, you know, than trading out Alperen Şengün. But Alperen Şengün is valuable. He is a valuable trade piece if you want to use him in the future.
Rafael got. Didn't Carol Dawson draft Jayshon?
No, he's only like 29.
Carol Dawson?
He would not get drafted that long ago.
I mean, goodness gracious, how long has this dude been here?
Jayshon,
did Bill Worrell say backing him down at some point?
He was not drafted by Gene Peterson. Well,
backing him down.
He was not drafted by Rafael Stone. He was drafted 20 or 21.
Who's in 21? Was Daryl Morey still here?
Wait. Was he even drafted by the Rockets? I don't even know if he was even drafted.
Whoever
undrafted, whatever. Who brought him in? He became a Rocket
in 2021.
2020. That was his first year. He was on all rookie first team.
Was he?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Was he?
Who was the Rockets decision maker in 2020?
2020 was a 3-win season, wasn't it?
That's relatively impossible in basketball. We would remember. I don't see if you said it was a 3-win season, everyone would remember. You would be like,
you know,
I don't remember.
He took over. He was officially named general manager on October 15, 2020.
So that would have been
after they
brought in Jayshon.
Maybe.
They wouldn't have signed him in October. That's when the season is about to begin.
Probably didn't sign it, but also, Rafael's been with the Rockets since
05. Yeah, so he had a part
to
play.
He was underneath Daryl, so that's his guy too. And he may have really caped for him. You never know. He may have been the guy who said, hey, I really want to get this guy as a free agent.
And he was justified that
rookie season. Jayshon's one of his guys.
Daryl left October 15th of the
They didn't win the coin flip for Jayshon in 84. Stop. Somebody who you all know just texted that they won the coin flip.
I'm trying to think of that.
That was Ralph Sampson. That was not Jayshon.
Did we know that Daryl Morey was about to be the Sixers president when he left the Rockets, or did we all assume he was? Your mic's off.
I think that was
No. Darryl, he said he was taking time off to be with his daughter.
And then 2 weeks later, he's president of the Sixers.
He signed with the Sixers.
I don't know. I don't remember at the time how that was treated.
How much time do you need with your daughter? You have 2 weeks.
I don't have a daughter, so I don't know.
Plenty.
But did we just not care about him lying? Did we not care about him lying?
I said it at the time.
Okay.
You mean the same Daryl Morey who said, what?
Well, we know James Harden thinks he's a liar.
What? There's reports about Chris Paul being traded. What? That's not true at all. Chris Haynes is lying to you 2 days later. Chris Paul has been traded for Russell Westbrook.
Okay, but you don't want to let a trade be known before it happens. Okay, whatever. But the flat out just go, hey, I'm going to spend time with my daughter. Even Urban Meyer spent the year away.
Changed his mind.
Yeah. No. He 2 weeks later, done. Bye. Sixers. Woo! Yeah, there wasn't any tampering going on there.
I personally didn't care. The Rockets were done with them.
Yeah. Wasn't it a mutual thing, though? I can tell you this. It was not amicable because after that, they were like, we ain't dealing with Daryl. We ain't doing nothing with Daryl. It was not that amicable, no. We got a break. It's 834 713 780-3776. We're more than halfway through the show if you want to get in. Hurry.
That's right. He resigned October 15th.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Texans minicamp, or Texans training camp underway. It has been said, so it is spoken, so it shall be done. The Texans are going to split or at least share touches between David Montgomery and Woody Marks.
Yeah, our girl Jane Slater kind of mentioned that. And then altered it slightly, just saying, you know, in a general sense, not necessarily 50-50, but 60, I'm probably going to go like 63-37, Montgomery.
I don't know. I'm not.
It might be closer actually, 60-40.
I'm going to tell you this. It would not shock me if Woody Marks has a better season.
What do you describe as a better season?
More runs, more big runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a chance he has more rushing yards.
So Woody Marks could end up averaging. Woody, I think, is going to average more yards per carry.
More yards per carry.
I don't know.
David Montgomery breaks a lot of tackles.
He does. Now, he's a tackle breaker and gains an extra 3 to 5 to 6 yards. Woody, to me, is somebody who can slip an arm tackle and turn it into a longer run. But Dave Montgomery is going to be extraordinarily important for being that hammerhead to keep the chains moving.
Yeah.
He'll have more carries. Yeah.
For sure. But Woody might have more yards because of his breakaway. He slips some tackles in the backfield. You know, making a move, making one cut.
He's a better athlete at this point of his career than Dave Montgomery. They're different backs. That's why I like the combination. But what I liked about Woody Marks is Woody Marks will give you some lead now. He will, if he needs to, he'll drop his pads and run behind his pads and hit you with something.
Yeah.
Like Woody's not soft as a runner. I don't know that his vision is just kind of average, I think, but if the hole is there, he can hit the gas and accelerate through. And if it needs to turn into a one-on-one, off the edge and he's got to drag you for a yard and a half, we saw he could do that.
So,
and he's a good pass catcher. Although David Montgomery, I saw a video of David Montgomery working on pass catching and almost after Jane Slater put that out and, you know, talked about Woody Marks, the pass catcher. Almost the next day, there's video of David Montgomery catching a bunch of passes. hey guys, he's also a pass catcher. I'm like, okay,
watch this.
I trust you.
They don't throw to the back out of the backfield anyway.
No, probably wish CJ Wood more. Actually, when it's not going well, probably wish he'd do a little more dump down. If I'm being honest.
What was the share for the Texans? Percentage of all offensive touchdowns that were running touchdowns.
Touchdowns?
Touchdowns.
All touchdowns that were rushing touchdowns.
What percentage of their touchdowns were rushing touchdowns?
Well, it's funny because some of them are going to be defense. I'll say like 30%. I have no idea.
They were fifth from last in the league at 27.3.
Okay, that was pretty close.
Indianapolis was best at 52. Then Washington, the Giants, Buffalo,
Washington.
Baltimore. Yeah, Washington. Okay. That is a little bit surprising, but Jaden Daniels was hurt, so I guess they
ran the ball. Brian Robinson came back and.
Yeah.
Was Christian Rodriguez over there? I'm trying to remember who all they had running over there. The Giants had Cam Scatabu was getting in the end zone a lot for a little while. Hurt. And then who else? Giants, Washington. Giants,
Buffalo, James Cook.
Yeah, Baltimore, and Josh Allen.
Atlanta.
Josh Allen's also a run touchdown guy.
Yep. Atlanta, Minnesota, Seattle, Jacksonville.
Whoa, where's Philadelphia with the push and Saquon Barkley?
They're down the list. They're about 14.
Wow, Saquon and Jalen Hurts, and they're not even in the top 10.
12, 14, 15th. 15th.
That's staggering.
Yep. Texans were 27th. Las Vegas was the worst at 20% when they had the best running back that we've seen coming out of college in how long, and they couldn't run for touchdowns. Ashton Gentry. Cincinnati second to last. Arizona third to last. The Rams. Of course, they threw a bunch. Mm-hmm. And what Evan Cohen said before, when you have all three, offense, defense, and special teams, so there's 32, that's 96. He said that the Texans' defense might be the number one of all of those. Okay. Would you take the Texans' defense or the Rams' offense? Which would you rather have?
Rams' offense.
I think I would, too.
I mean, that's not obviously. It's just because it's an offensive league. That's just all there is to it. It's harder to get a great quarterback than it is to build a great defense. It just is, historically. So, I'd rather have their offense and the Texans' defense. There's only so far you can go. You can get in a shootout and win. It's hard to just win by turning everything into slop.
Yeah, but I think the Texans' defense would be next. Is there any other offense that you would rather have? Buffalo, maybe?
No, that's a good question.
Than the Texans' defense?
No,
Seattle's
not Buffalo.
Seattle's defense, Denver's defense.
Yeah, see, well, there's other defenses that you would say, I'll take that if I could have a good offense. But no, what are the other offenses you would take in place of the Texans' defense? Like if you were to swap them, it wouldn't be Seattle.
Would it be Buffalo?
No, I wouldn't do Buffalo. I don't like the wide receivers.
Chicago's offense?
No. They're not even picked to win their division. You got to have a dominant. This is an elite defense. I need an elite offense. Who are the elite offenses? Who are we missing here? Are we missing somebody, Dale? Nobody in the AFC North.
No.
Nobody in this. I mean, you know, Joe Burrow, you can keep doing that thing. I'm not going to do that.
Detroit's offense?
It's gone. Now, Kansas City has gone down at least for a year, and we still don't know about
Cincinnati's
their wide receiver.
Offense?
No. I wouldn't do it. I got to worry about their quarterback being healthy.
But when he is healthy.
No, I'm not doing that. He's hurt half the time.
Yep.
He misses six or more games.
Green Bay's offense?
Nope. Nobody in the AFC South. Nobody in the AFC West. Nobody in the AFC East. Nobody in the AFC North. Nobody in the NFC North. Nobody in the NFC South. Nobody in the NFC East.
San Francisco's offense?
Nope. It's one team. It's the Rams.
The Rams.
That's the only offense. I would say, okay, I'll take that offense and give up the Texans' defense. That's it. That's how good the Texans' defense is. And a little bit tells you about the offense.
Well,
in the league too.
Well, then the next pick would probably be Seattle's defense.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing. I was just going a one for one offense for defense. Like you have who is the?
No, but I'm saying if you had your choice, you draft.
Yeah.
The Rams' offense would probably be first. The Texans' defense would probably be second.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many offenses I'm taking ahead of the Seattle defense either.
That's right.
I take the Cowboys offense.
I probably would, too. I was thinking about the Cowboys, and I'm like, John's going to scream at me, so I'm not going to say
two elite that. Receivers, good quarterback, offensive line's pretty good.
Average running back. Adequate, true. Good. Average running back, which is all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Cowboys offense
and
is
a pass-catching
really
tight end.
You know, it's funny. I feel like the Eagles could be on there in the right, you know, 2 years ago I would have put the Eagles on there, not right now. The Bengals can be on there when everything's right, everything's going for them. You might consider a team like the Ravens if Lamar's in his bag. Why not the Lions?
I think John mentioned them.
Did you mention them, John?
Talking.
The Lions, not over the Texans. I wouldn't.
I'd still take Seattle's defense third
over the Lions defense.
Over the Lions offense, yeah.
I mean, over the Lions offense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would too. But that's a lot. I mean, Laporta, who didn't do a lot last year, but Laporta, Gibbs, Goff, Amon-Ra, Williams as a deep threat. They just drafted a tackle. They've got Penei Sewell, who is one of the best tackles in the league. I mean, they've on paper, they got an offense that can.
The question for me is, would you take whatever you think is the elite top two offensive of football, the comparison to the Texans defense, and take the comparable defense to the Texans offense? So you just flip.
Rams and Texans.
Yeah, and okay. Then you find a defense that's comparable to the Texans offense. Which would you rather roll with?
Oh, a defense,
a defense
that's
comparable
offense?
To the Texans,
and that's
offense?
Your team. Which would you rather roll with? A Texans defense and the
probably offense of the Rams, yeah.
And then whatever and defense is comparable
yeah.
to the
yeah, because it would
comparable
be
defense?
Comparable.
It would be like
a mid tier,
not even a Dolphins. That's worse than the Texans offense.
Well, they've got a whole new team, yeah. Pretty much. So you'd have to like the Texans. If you just go by the numbers, and of course we know defense helped. I think they wound up as the 13th best scoring team in football. I say team because defense points are included in that as a raw number. So you'd have to find a pretty average defense
somewhere around 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there, and you put them together with the elite Rams offense. And would you rather roll into a season in the playoffs with that, or what we have here? With what the Texans have currently.
So yards per game, let me just throw a defense
out there. Scoring defense.
All right. Let's go with the Tennessee Titans defense. Tennessee Titans.
They were an average defense-ish?
Well, the Titans were actually below. I'm going yards per game. But if the offense is always.
Yards per game is fine.
Probably yards per play would actually be the better one, but I don't have that. So let me just throw a name out there. See, I'd say the Ravens.
Would you take
but you're in your heart, you say, oh, the Ravens. But the Ravens weren't good on defense.
Would you take
last year.
The Eagles' defense, which is about 13th yards per game, plus the Rams' offense?
Points per game, Carolina was 15th. Would you take the Panthers' defense?
That's a good one.
Panthers' defense, Rams' offense, or the current Texans setup?
Well, you get the Texans' defense. What would be the equivalent offense?
I'd take the Rams and Panthers.
That's the Rams offense.
Take the Rams and Panthers, but you don't have much pass rush. You're okay in the secondary. I mean, it's changed a lot, but your offense is really good.
Yeah.
Your offense is really good. You can hit 30. You can hit 30. Every game, you got a shot of hitting 30. Every game, you got a shot of hitting 30. So, yeah, I'd probably take the Rams offense and the Panthers' defense as opposed to the Texans' offense and defense. Now, obviously, I can see that would infuriate some people because the Texans' defense is so elite, and there's some people who probably believe the Texans. Now, I'm doing this sight unseen. All of us are. We don't know what they're going to be offensively.
We're just going by what we saw last year.
I think they're
going to
be better. I'm just going off of what they had at the end of last year. I'm not including what I think is going to happen this year.
But even if you remove the Texans from the equation, if you have it, would you rather have the elite defense and an operating average offense, not the playoff offense, but an average offense?
We've seen a win before, but I just don't.
Or
still
the
don't
other version with the elite offense and the average defense
with the cover two shells and the shell coverages slowing down offenses. If you still have an elite scoring offense, I'd rather take that now because now more than ever, it's more valuable. It's not like points come a dime a dozen anymore. Those offensive numbers have come down. So give me the offense now.
Yeah, you. Well, I mean, look at the highest scoring, the best offenses in the league were Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Bills, Lions, scoring wise. Cowboys had one of the best yardage wise, but they're back.
Let's go yards per game. Rams, Cowboys, Patriots, Bills, Lions, Bears, 49ers, Seahawks, and Colts. I mean, okay, just a bunch of playoff
scoring.
Teams.
Let's do scoring. Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Bills, Lions. Well, they weren't a playoff team, but the Jags, Cowboys weren't, Colts weren't. I mean, and then when you look at scoring defenses, who were playoff teams, Seahawks, Texans, Broncos, Patriots, Eagles, Chiefs, then Vikings, Jaguars, Chargers, Rams.
Chargers
made
the playoffs. They made the playoffs.
Yeah. So Vikings didn't. Kansas City didn't. The first five did.
Yeah, otherwise they did. Like eight of the first
kinda,
10 did.
It's kind of the same, actually, yeah. On both sides.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. Anybody wants to get in, you're more than welcome. Anything we've talked about so far. Texans training camp underway. Astros win. Nice job. An update on a story yesterday. We'll do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.